Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Holocult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you to get you through the work week. And that's what we're going to do. Going to attempt it. This week I'm bringing you a case that is very old. It's one that I remember reading about when I was young, digging into paranormal books and stuff, and I just never really taken the time to really deep dive it, and today I did, so you guys get to reap the benefits of that. But before we get into it, we got to take care of business, so check us out at all our social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast, and you'll find us there. Come be part of the community and join the cult. If you're new to the cult, it's your first time joining us, you can fast forward about 5 minutes. That's when we usually get into the show. If you don't want to listen to me and Kyle talk, if you do, continue to hang out. It's cool. If you've been here before, welcome back, you weirdo. We're glad to have you. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future episode of our listener experience show, Kyle has some details.
I do. It's all extremely easy. It's always in the show notes. Every episode. All you gotta do is click it, figure it out. If you don't want to do that, hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You can also go to hollowskypodcast.com and do it that way. We have a little box you can submit shit to and then hit send. And me and Steve get it. We file it, air it. Fame and fortune, baby. Fame and fortune.
It's easy.
Yeah.
It's an easy recipe for success.
This is a place where no busters are allowed. And we're thriving.
Living life.
Living life. Working jobs.
Living it. Loving it. Buster free since 2019.
That's right, baby.
It's just how it is.
Stamp of approval.
If you'd like to support our buster freeness, you can do that by checking out our Patreon. For $7, you get a bunch of extra Patreon exclusive shows. You get all of our normal shows early and ad free. You get some sick AI metal via the AI metal band Casket Breath. You get some coupons to the merch store and some other stuff over there. Just go check it out. If it's something you're interested, check it out. Also, you can, what else do I got here? Share the show. Word of mouth. Best thing you can do. It's free. It's easy. Quick. Share the show. Throw our name out there on social media. Share it to your friends, whoever listens to weird stuff. Just keep us out there and keep the cult growing. You can check out hollowskypodcast.com. Go over there. We got some merch we're trying to work our way through. Go get some shirts, some hats, some beanies, some stickers, all kinds of good stuff over there. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review, and I'll shout you out whenever I find them, which trying my best over here. We know that my best is a lot of other people's worst. So this week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Deuter McSauceman. So Deuter says, straight to the point and ... because Apple won't let me read the rest.
These guys are gangsters.
And these guys are gangsters.
Yeah. Kyle, you just gotta start making that part up. Just act like it's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So Deuter McSauceman says, straight to the point and these guys are gangsters. 5 stars. Hollow Sky Podcast is a standout project in an oversaturated genre. That was very well spoken, Deuter.
Yeah. That's a good analysis.
It was. We do stand out.
I agree.
As the bastard sons of the paranormal.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
I'll still forever. I wish I could get GIFs tattooed onto me.
You can't.
Oh, really? And they move?
Maybe.
Because I would like to get on my, I wish it was on my right underarm, that GIF of Arnold that we have that says Hollow Sky doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Where he makes the face and then he flexes.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That'd be a cool tattoo.
We don't. We don't give a F.
No.
But Deuter, thanks for taking the time to leaving us such a poignant 5-star rating and review. Makes me wonder what the rest of the title actually was, because reading the review, I don't think you would have used the term our gangsters.
He definitely would have.
He did, and he would
did.
Have.
He did do that.
We appreciate the kind words.
Like most. I said, that has to be the new way. You don't even acknowledge that we can't read it anymore. You just make it up.
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Because that's going to make me laugh. It's going to put me in a good mood.
I'm just going to wing it every time.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome because there are gonna, people that are going to listen to it and go, what the fuck? I didn't write that.
How are you going to know if I'm winging it or not?
That's the point. You don't.
Copy that. The final way you can help us out here is by supporting our sponsors. Speaking of sponsors, now here's a word from them.
Hey, Holocult. We are back and excited to announce our continued partnership with Mood. Mood is an online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends, and they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. Mood's mantra is that cannabis should be accessible, affordable, convenient, and transparent. But most importantly, they believe in supporting American farmers who make all of this possible. Mood was created in 2002 as an online source for 100% federally legal cannabis grown on small, pesticide-free American farms. Mood has gummies for literally everything: immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal, and each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. That's no pesticides, no BS, and they ship to most U.S. states. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I'd mentioned, Holocult listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. That's H-O-L-O. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use our promo code HOLO, that's H-O-L-O, at checkout to save 20% on your first order. Hey, Holocult. You may have heard of HelloFresh. They send chef-crafted recipes and fresh ingredients to your home. But this summer, they made their biggest menu upgrade yet. This isn't the HelloFresh you remember. It's bigger. HelloFresh has doubled its menu. Now you can choose from 100 options each week, including new seasonal dishes and recipes from around the world. It's healthier. Feel great with their new healthier menu filled with high-protein and veggie-packed recipes. It's also tastier. Get steak and seafood recipes delivered every week at no extra cost. Now there's 3 times more seafood on the menu. Also, new seasonal produce each week, from snap peas to stone fruit, corn on the cob, and more. Me and my partner use HelloFresh, and I cannot recommend it enough. The last HelloFresh meal we had was the tomato, mozzarella, and creamy pesto panini. It was delicious. The ingredients were fresh, and everything came together perfectly. The sourdough bread was a great base for a combination of the rich cream cheese and fresh mozzarella. That was balanced out perfectly with the acidity from the fresh tomato and the bright pesto. The arugula salad with Dijon vinaigrette was a great light side to round out the meal. It was as simple as making a grilled cheese, but exponentially more tasty. The best way to cook just got better. Go to HelloFresh.com/Holo1Pod10FM now to get 10 free meals plus a free item for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on your first box. New subscribers only and varies by plan. That's HelloFresh.com/HOLO, the number 1, POD, the number 10, FM, to get 10 free meals plus a free item for life.
All right, we are back. We're going to dive into today's weirdness. As I stated before, this case has kind of always stood out to me as just a case of general high strangeness, and it's old. It's an old case. I remember reading about it in library books when I was young, and it always kind of just stood out in my brain.
It's going to draw back some memories for you then. You're going to have some flashbacks.
I kind of forgot about it until I'm going to be 100% transparent with the cult out here. Kind of having a little writer's block, right? We all get it. It all happens. So I'm like, man, I'm just going to start looking through some of my paranormal books. I have an insane amount of them. And I stumbled across this and I was like, yeah, we're going to do this week. So this week's case is the case of the Devil's Footprints, which, again, is an old one. It's also and takes place in England. So you guys get to hear me butcher a bunch of English town names, which I will hear about in the chat.
That's okay.
It's going to be a good time.
I might remember this one too. I'm curious to see if I remember it.
It's weird. And there's no explanation for it.
Good. That's how we like it.
There's no solution. People tried to solve it, but lame.
It's funny how modern life is still like that.
Yeah.
No solution, no explanation.
Just lame. So again, today's case is an old one. Over 175 years, to be exact.
Oh, wow. That is old.
Yeah. But it's one I've heard time and time again throughout the annals of the paranormal world. As I stated before, I remember seeing it in books as far back as I can remember reading into the paranormal, so I decided to deep dive into it. The fact that it's still held up, its mystery close to 175 years later, kind of speaks to its weirdness. So I'm going to paint a picture for you all, a digital picture that you can play out in your mind. It's a cold February morning in the Exmouth countryside of southwest England. Women, children, and elderly are all hiding in their homes. They have their doors boarded up, like barricaded. They're peering out through their windows as if they're hiding from something, which they are, but they don't quite know what it is. Outside, all able-bodied men and boys are traipsing through the snow-covered fields and roads, carrying anything they can get their hands on as a weapon. Pitchforks, hammers, pistols, flails, shotguns, muskets, clubs, anything that they can find to protect themselves with. It's basically a hunting party.
Tell me that wouldn't be exciting.
That's wild.
It's awesome.
It's wild.
I still, not that I really want to live back then because it probably sucked, but partaking in something like that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
The adrenaline's going. You're excited. You're scared. But at the same time, you're like, I'm
here with the homies.
I'm going to fuck this thing up, dude. Yeah. I'm going to beat this thing's ass. I got my pitchfork and you got a damn
torch.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
It reminds me a lot of the Van Meter Visitor episode. If you haven't listened to that yet, they go out after theirs too.
It's just straight up mob mentality.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, you're still picturing it. All the women, children, and oldsters are hiding out. They don't want any part of what's going on. The men are circling back and forth through thick snow, looking behind bushes and ditches and behind hedges and old outbuildings, anywhere something can hide, throughout the farms, the orchards, and the cemeteries. All they know is that something had visited their town the night before. There were glimpses of a creature, but nothing substantial. About 20% of the men were looking for an unknown creature about the size of a donkey. They knew something was out there. Something had been walking around. They weren't sure what it was. The rest of the men were looking for the devil. Which is...
That's interesting.
Wild.
So some people were convinced it was just a donkey?
You'll understand why.
Okay.
Kind of. And you got to consider the time period. It's the 1850s, so it's easy to get.
I mean, if you think about it, donkeys do have a very demonic presence.
Yeah.
The way they laugh sometimes, it's creepy.
Yeah. So I'm sure you're all wondering why everyone in this series of small towns around the Devonshire countryside suddenly became terrified of Satan, so much so that they barricaded themselves behind closed doors.
Satan or donkeys.
While the rest were armed to the... Oh, it gets better. The theories are gets way better.
Awesome. I'm excited.
The rest were armed to the teeth and looking for them, although I'm not sure exactly what they thought they would do if they found the devil.
Hit it with a torch.
He's already kind of cool with that. According to Christian lore, he lives in fire.
No, well, you hit him with a torch, it's going to hurt.
I mean, I guess that's better than getting stabbed with a pitchfork.
Yeah,
yeah. But I guess the devil carries a pitchfork sometimes.
Also true.
This may be a sizable battle here, sized up.
Yeah.
So it was obvious to him, or obvious to the hunting party, that he was close at hand because of a set of tracks of clearly cloven footprints that had been left for miles throughout the freshly fallen snow. So there's a large geographical area where people started finding these footprints. We're going to start out in on the northernmost part of the track path, I guess you could call it, in the town of Topsom. And the people here weren't necessarily like superstitious or really like easy to give into mass hysteria. They were all just kind of hardworking, salt of the earth people. But they'd clearly been startled by this phenomenon, and it's held its mystery for over a century. So we're going to jump into the case. On the night of February 7th, an exceptionally heavy snowfall engulfed the coastal area in the southern part of the country. It was reported to snow for hours from about 8 p.m. till about 12 a.m. So you have a four, keep that in mind, you have a 4-hour window of snow. Because the tracks that are found are in this snowstorm. So you have a very little time period for these tracks to be created, right? Because you figure if it started, like say the first inch of snow fell and it made these tracks, it would be covered by the rest of the snow.
Right.
So.
How bad was the snowstorm? Did they ever elaborate on that?
No. They said it was pretty substantial though, and it was about a 4-hour time period. So you'd think it couldn't snow a whole lot in 4 hours, but probably pretty decent. It was reported that it snowed for about 4 hours from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. and the bad weather pretty much kept everyone inside trying to stay warm. At around 6 a.m. the next morning, a man by the name of Henry Pilk, the town baker, emerged from his backyard bakehouse in the small town of Topsom. As he looked out through the yard, he saw that the yard and the street and the fields around him were covered with a pristine blanket of snow. He's quoted to say that it looked like a fresh bed sheet had been laid across the ground, except for one thing, a line of the most peculiar tracks that Mr. Pilk had ever seen. He said each track resembled a small horseshoe, and at first he thought maybe they had been made by a pony. But then as he took a closer look at the tracks and the way they presented themselves, each print in a line, each one in front of another, it resembled the gait of a two-legged creature, as opposed to the tracks left by a four-legged creature. He noted that the prints seemed to start at his wooden fence, which led into his yard, which was 6 feet high, and approached close to his bakehouse, almost as if examining the structure, and then it veered back toward the fence. Mr. Pilk, being an OG, realized that he had work to do and just made a mental note of the tracks and set back to the bakehouse to start his work day.
My man.
He had shit to do. He cannot deal with the devil right now. Man. Or a rogue donkey.
Ain't shit changed either.
No, he's got bread to bake. There's muffins to be made. There's shit to do.
I like muffins.
Me too. I wish I had one right now.
Same.
He wasn't too concerned with the tracks or what hellish creature possibly could have made them. He didn't even bother to look over the fence to see if the tracks started prior to it. He really just couldn't be bothered by what was in his yard the night before.
I can appreciate that.
That was until an hour later, when the town's school teacher, Albert Brailford, knocked on his door with some other local town folk. The group had noticed the strange prints in the street and followed them to Henry's yard. He immediately garnered a little more interest and joined the group in looking to see what had created these strange tracks. The group rapidly swelled in size as more and more town folk noticed the strange line of tracks. Soon, housewives, school children, tradesmen, apprentices, farmers, shopkeepers, all were joining in as they found more and more evidence of this strange creature walking through their town. Soon it became evident, as more and more people called out, with signs of the hoof marks, that whatever had made the tracks had visited almost every single home in town.
That's strange.
That's weird.
Like, I could definitely see, like, an animal explanation if it's a straight line path. Maybe some little subtle variances here and there, right, where it wandered around. But the fact that it visited every single structure
is weird.
It's
weird. Yeah. Every single home along the main street, or a singular set of odd tracks investigating every single home along Main Street and those adjacent streets. So with the town now abuzz, more and more people came forward with their sightings of the strange tracks. It was clear that the town had been visited by something, and had piqued its interest enough to check out every single home in town. But they started to realize another peculiarity. God, I can't say that word. I write it and I can't say it. The Mr. Pilk had missed while not examining his fence. Whatever this creature was, for all intents and purposes, could walk through walls. For some of the gardens in town that the tracks had invaded were secured with 12-foot-high, tall stone walls.
God damn. Big people ones. Got castle walls built around their homes.
They don't want people getting in their gardens.
Jeez, they took that serious.
The gates to the said garden where the tracks were shown were locked and not tampered with. And upon investigation, the snow on the top walls of the garden was also undisturbed.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's some serious investigation right there. Because I wouldn't have, I don't know that I would have had it in me to think about getting up at the top of the wall to see if there was stuff up there.
I think once they notice the tracks go to the wall, and then once they are like, man, the gate's not open, so that's weird. And then when they got into the garden and they saw that the tracks continued and did the same at the other wall, they're like, okay, this is sus. Let's see.
But I feel like most people would just be lazy and be like, it probably jumped over the wall.
12 foot's a good jump.
I realize that. However, I just don't feel, or maybe they, I think no matter what, whether it's jump over the wall or climbed over the wall, most people would just run on assumption.
Yeah, unless there was enough significant snow, you could see, like, the snow humped up on the top of the wall and it not be messed with.
Sure.
Which would probably, like, garner further investigation, maybe.
Sure, yeah, maybe. But I'll still state, like, how fun it would be. Think about that. Having your whole town involved in, like, a paranormal mystery. Fucking rad.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
It would be a blast.
Yeah. So, yeah, essentially walked directly through this wall, which is weird.
Definitely weird.
And not a thing a donkey can do. Not any donkeys that I've met.
They are pretty special.
That's true. It was almost as if no obstacles at all were in this thing's way. The searchers started to coordinate their efforts and confirmed that the tracks had in fact visited every home in town. The trail ran mostly along the ground, but sometimes it was seen on the roof of some of the houses in town, as well as over wagons and other things that were in its path. Which is weird to me that it would walk through this wall, but it would walk on the roof of some of the houses.
It is strange.
It also makes me wonder if it could walk through the stone wall. Did it walk through house walls, too? Nobody noticed. It's weird.
It is weird. And you would think that someone in town
would have seen something.
Would have seen something, but furthermore, somebody would have heard something walking on their roof.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to assume that back then they didn't have fans that they ran and white noise machines.
No.
And I feel like somebody would have woke up hearing thumps on the roof.
The devil or a donkey.
Yeah.
Walking on your roof.
I definitely feel like they would have woke up.
Yeah. It's weird.
Not everybody, because some of us sleep like logs, but somebody definitely would have.
The tracks never varied or faltered or even doubled back. They just went on undisturbed, passing each point just once, zigzagging right and left, as if the wanderer had made it his intention to peer into every house along this route. As the group of members of Topsons were tracing the tracks through their streets, the people of multiple other the people of multiple other towns along Devon coast were doing the same. As they would come to find out, the singular line of tracks went for almost 100 miles.
That's a good trek.
That's a lot of ground to cover in the amount of time that it was snowing. So you have to figure the snow had already been done falling. So you figure midnight to 6. That's 6 hours to travel 100 miles on hoof. I don't know the math on that, but I'm going to assume.
I feel like that's
got to be moving
pretty quick.
Got to be moving. So Topsom was situated in the estuary of the X River, marked the northern part of the Devil's Tramping Ground. The town of, I'm going to butcher this, Totnes, T-O-T-N-E-S, or English friends, please correct me, is about 97 miles down the coast to mark the southern extreme. Between those points, virtually every town and village along the coast, and yes, even single farmsteads, awoke to find the trail of hoof marks on their doorsteps and roofs. Here we go with a bunch of English town names that I'm going to butcher. I'm sorry.
You got this.
From the towns of Torquay to Newton to Teignmouth to Luscombe to Dawlish to Powderham, and over a dozen other places had been visited by the Night Wanderer. Farmers found them on solitary haystacks. Priests found them in their churchyards and cemeteries. The rich folk found them on the front steps of their mansions. They were found along lonely stretches of beach. They were followed through uninhabited acres of woods. On main streets and market squares, they had just traveled the entire length of the coast. They had to have been made the night before, as there had been no snow on the ground prior to that, and again, it had only snowed from 8 p.m. until 12 a.m., so the time frame was a short one. However, no one in the area could remember either seeing or hearing anything that might give clue as to what created the prints. As the hours passed, the sightings just grew stranger and stranger. In the town called Mamhead, it's probably different, Mammead?
Motorhead.
Motorhead. The local doctor named Benson followed a line of prints across an open field right up to an 18-foot-tall high haystack, which was blanketed with a fresh coat of snow.
Who the fuck makes a haystack 18 feet high?
The people of Motorhead.
Oh, well, that actually makes sense. Right? Never mind, I stand corrected.
The blanket of snow on top of the stack was undisturbed, but the tracks continued on the other side as if whatever this creature was either walked directly through the haystack or just stepped completely over it.
So weird.
Which is awesome.
It's so weird because you could even argue multiple animals, but still, there's so many anomalies right off the rip. The fact that it's one singular line, never does it backtrack on itself. It almost in a puzzle fashion, because if you think about it, it's like a puzzle, strategically being able to hit every house without backtracking is bananas.
Yeah. It's like it has a purpose.
Yeah. And then the line doesn't break.
Yet.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yet.
It's funny you said that because we're right here at this interesting point in the story.
Okay.
So in the same town, Motorhead, two hunters spent hours tracking these tracks through thick, thorny gooseberry bushes and through dense hedges. The men, being hunters and trackers, started looking through the thorns to see if there were any tufts of hair hung up in them. You know, noting an animal would be there.
Also interesting enough that local hunters and trackers found the tracks interesting enough to dedicate time to follow.
And that could be said for everyone. Because, like, you have to consider the time period there in 1850s. Everybody's job, like, the town is dependent on everybody's job. Yeah. So for them to take a whole day off from blacksmithing, from baking, from doing all this stuff, like, could set them back significantly, right? Because everybody's job is important to the well-being of the town.
And I feel like the majority of them would probably know what a donkey track looks like.
Exactly.
Just saying. I don't know.
Exactly. But they didn't find any hair hung up in any of the thorn bushes.
Which is
fucking weird.
Unnatural.
No evidence that a creature had been there except for the strange tracks. And it gets weirder here, as Kyle had just brought up. After exiting the hedgerow, the tracks disappeared. Almost as if the creature had flew off or had been picked up off the earth. But only for about a half a mile. Because as the hunters exited the hedgerow and noticed that the tracks stopped, he noticed people on the edge of town, just a half a mile away, out looking at their roofs. When they went over there, they found that the hoof marks had restarted on the roof of the nearest cottage and continued on the ground and up and over other cottages until it reached the main street of Motorhead, where it continued to check the houses, each house of the town.
Which legitimately suggests that it can fly, essentially.
Which, I mean...
Which then makes a lot...
Demons have wings.
Well, it also makes more sense as far as getting over the 12-foot wall, getting over the hay bales, getting on top of the houses.
Unless it took one big step. Half a mile to the other.
Yeah.
Which I want to think about that happening in my head.
So, I mean, yeah. So the way that would break down is that for 90% of the journey, it's essentially tiptoeing.
Yes.
And then it comes to obstacles and it's like, well, it'd take a real step here. Yeah.
It's 1,000 feet tall, but it's just walking just on its little hoof toes.
Little tiptoeing.
Yeah. It's as if nothing could stop whatever was creating the tracks. Between the towns of Powderham and Limpstone lay the X River estuary, which is unfrozen at the time and almost 2 miles wide at said point where the tracks went down the bank. Yet the creature seemingly walked up to the western bank, and the tracks continued on exactly on the opposite side of the eastern shore, as if it had swum or stepped over or simply walked on the water across the 2-mile-wide river. The same thing happened at Tynemouth Estuary, 6 miles further south, where the tracks led directly into the water and continued on the opposite side.
The fact that not only is the town involved, it's like all the towns are involved.
Yeah.
Which means just by sheer numbers, pure number value, I'm willing to bet someone in that bitch knows what animal tracks will look like.
Yes.
Like just pure luck, pure numbers, somebody is going to know if that's an animal or not.
Yeah.
And the fact that not one town, not two towns, all the towns are invested in this anomaly speaks volumes.
Yeah. It's weird.
That is bizarre.
I found one report of someone following the tracks up to a drainage pipe where it looked as if the creature walked into the drainage pipe and then out the other side, because the 12-foot length of the drainage pipe was covered in ground that was covered in fresh snow. So the track went into the drainage pipe and out the other side, where this thing did not walk over it, obviously. The kicker is that the drainage pipe was only 4 inches in diameter.
Nice.
So it can shapeshift now from being 1,000 feet tall to 4 inches tall. Which is...
I hope he was just listening to Riff Raff.
He was.
Tiptoeing in my Jordans.
I hope that it was just Jordan Prince. As Kyle said, the prints were easy enough to follow as they didn't resemble any other tracks or markings left in the snow.
Do we know if the prints stayed relatively the same size?
We're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting there. They didn't resemble any other tracks or markings left in the snow. Even townspeople that had no extensive knowledge of wildlife or any tracking background had no problem distinguishing them from other prints, such as birds or rabbits or mice in the snow. Like, these were definitely something different. The tracks stuck out so much, there are illustrations of the hoof marks that were made by hundreds of people on the record today. So you can still look up the illustrations. No. Tons of people saw this and had the wherewithal to draw them.
Which is weird, considering. Like, I feel like that's strange. that many people would be compelled to draw them.
Yeah, it just kind of leads credence to how weird the scenario was.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If you go outside and you see a bear print, you're not going to be like, oh, damn, there's a bear print.
I'm drawing it.
No. Go outside and you see a devil's footprint, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, this is
somebody weird. In town's doing some fuckery. So the tracks definitely resembled those of a shoed donkey, but different in the fact that they were more elongated than a regular, like, horse or donkey shoe. They were convex and measured 4 inches long by 2.5 inches wide. So still, I mean, that's probably about the size of a regular horseshoe, only, like, stretched out, right?
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty close.
Maybe it's a little bit smaller. They were unnaturally uniform. All of them were exactly the same. I've read accounts where they said they are spaced exactly the same amount apart from one another throughout the entire length of the tracks. Like, where there's one track, the next one would be 8 inches ahead of it. And then 8 inches ahead of that, another track. And it was like that forever.
Which would almost be statistically impossible for an animal to do.
Yes.
And a human.
Yes.
Because eventually you're going to change your gait because of obstacles or whatever.
That's exactly what I wrote down. I love it. The one thing all accounts stand by is that the strides were uniform and they didn't change based on obstacles in the path. Be it on level ground, through thick thorn bushes, on rooftops, it was always the same stride, which animals and humans vary their strides depending on their surfaces they're walking on and things they're stepping over. The continuous straight line of prints were also an oddity. Basically, every quadruped moves by placing its feet right and left, leaving very distinct double tracks. Even bipeds like birds and humans don't place one foot directly in front of the other unless they're walking a tightrope or doing a sobriety test.
Right.
Which seems exactly like what this creature was doing, walking a tightrope, because they were perfectly placed one in front of the other.
That is strange.
It's almost as if it was like following a predetermined path to check every house along the coastline. As the day went on, the tracks began to kind of succumb to the weather a little bit. The sun came up, they started melting. They call it track blurring in the snow. Like, when the snow begins to melt and it starts to blow the wind a little bit, the tracks change before they disappear. As people are finding the tracks later in the day, they begin to notice that the tracks were less uniform in shape and almost took the resemblance of a cloven foot, which is where the devil comes in here.
Okay.
So, and at the time, of course, 1850s, the only bipedal creature that bore a cloven foot that could walk through walls and step over rivers and giant haystacks, obviously, was Satan. It's obviously Satan. That's where you got to go with
it. I definitely see why they came to that conclusion now.
Yeah. If you got a two-footed hoofer walking around, it's the devil.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's the devil.
Flying, walking through walls.
Changing himself to tiny so he can walk through sewer pipes.
Yeah.
It's fine. And we all know how small town culture works, right? So news began to spread that it was the devil himself that had made its way down the Devon coastside. It spread from town to town that he had made his way to each home, presumably marking future victims. This obviously changed the entire dynamic of the encounter, right? Everybody who was outside chasing the tracks now all of a sudden thought, oh shit, this is not what we wanted to be after right now.
My name ain't fixing to be on that list.
No. So,
no, sir.
The men did what men do and said, hey, ladies, gather up all the oldies, gather up all the little kids, get inside, barricade the doors, barricade it up. Don't open it until we get back.
I love the...
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The fucking mental, like the mental image I'm having right now.
Yeah.
Just the women just being like, you cannot do this. You cannot go. And he's like, for you, I will fight the devil.
With?
I will kill the devil with Gary.
My pitchfork. With my pitchfork, I will protect you.
And Gary has a torch.
Gary does have a torch.
We are going to fuck the devil up.
And Ralph has an old twig he pulled off the tree out in the front yard.
I just see some nostalgic man standing out front going, today, I am going to kill the devil.
So it got crazy. Every able-bodied man and boy weaponed up in search for the devil. I'm talking hundreds of able-bodied volunteers along the coast armed themselves as best they could, even with tracking dogs, to try to track down the devil.
The 100-mile mob.
The 100-mile mob. It got so bad that two battalions of the British Army's Royal Fusiliers made their way to two towns and patrolled the streets for a few nights.
That's wild.
They don't fuck with the devil. Right?
But something was strange enough that they felt obligated to come check this out.
People were that much at a stir and worried that...
And we didn't have social media back then either. So no. Think about how quick news traveled with this encounter.
This is word of mouth.
That's word crazy. Of mouth
down the coast.
The devil is coming.
There was almost one fatality due to the hysteria of the situation. There was a man by the name of Daniel Plummer who, according to reports, was, quote, a harmless imbecile and beggar. Mm. He thought that it would be a good idea to don a bunch of chicken and goose feathers, just glue them to himself, and run around the forest while everybody was out looking for the devil. Which everybody in his town of Woodbury knew Daniel. And they're like, oh, this is a very Daniel thing to do. Unfortunately, mobs from other towns had made it to Woodbury.
Didn't know Daniel.
And they didn't know Daniel. So they see crazy chicken man running around in the forest. And they almost beat him to death.
That is awesome. Like, sucks, but it's awesome.
He's getting beaten by people with clubs and pitchforks.
And torches.
And torches and flails and anything you can think of. Luckily, the town priest saw this going on and is like, hey, don't do that.
Daniel.
That's not the devil. That's just Danny the dummy. And they locked Danny up for the rest of the night. They're like, hey, you're going to go sit in the drunk tank.
Rightfully so.
Take your chicken suit off.
That is the best part of this story.
I don't know what he was thinking.
Daniel the Chicken Man.
They call him Daft Danny, which wow. Daft, I'm assuming, means not that intelligent.
You can just call him Dumbass Danny.
Yeah. So as the tracks begin to disappear, the rumors about the tracks start to get more and more bizarre. So people are starting... either to embellish what's going on.
Theorizing.
Or not. Some people said they saw the tracks glowing red like hot coals, like they were on fire.
Hell yeah.
Other reports hearing devilish laughter echoing throughout the towns and the fields and the forest.
So now we are just straight up devil paranoia.
We are in the demon realm.
Yes.
people came forward saying they saw a gigantic horned shadow looming over Powderdom Castle.
Yes.
Some said they witnessed the tracks to disappear before their eyes, only to reappear as soon as they put their gaze away from them. So they'd look at them, they'd disappear, turn back, they'd reappear.
And then they were able to be found.
Very paranormal. Like the ghost in Mario.
Yeah.
You know, you look at him and he stops and you turn around and he moves. So obviously there were a ton of illustrations of the track. So a bunch of naturalists were brought in and biologists to look at the illustrations to determine if there were any creatures that could be a natural cause of the tracks. They listed literally everything.
Awesome.
Everything so, you could think of.
The experts weren't very good at experting.
No. Like, you have your first stuff, which is like a horse or a donkey, because it's got donkey-esque tracks, right?
Fair.
Then they're like, or it could have been a fox.
Oh.
A hoofed fox?
Yeah, that's what I would have said.
A deer, no. Which a deer is, that's not a horse track, but kind of close.
Yeah, but
not close.
Generally, they're way smaller.
Yeah.
Unless they got freaks of nature, roid rage deers.
A badger.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to assume that that people don't shoo badgers. That would be the worst job in the world.
Yeah.
To have to shoo a badger. So if they're doing that in England in the 1850s, you need to rethink.
You deserve to be visited by the devil.
Yes. Beavers. Who clearly have... Don't beavers have... Do beavers have webbed feet?
No, they have...
big tails.
They have horseshoes.
Which that's another thing. There was no evidence of a tail dragging through the snow. There's no tails. A tailless beaver.
That's because he had his tail lifted. Duh. Yeah,
that's true.
He didn't want it to get cold.
That's understandable. Mice. Hooved mice.
What?
Someone said a bird, because that would account for it making its way up onto the roofs and stuff.
Oh, see, you're dumb.
My bad.
No, it's just a really stupid way of thinking. I love how they analyze one tiny fragment of the entire story and they're like, it's a bird.
Yeah.
Because how else, guys, how else does it get from the ground to a roof? Okay.
Yeah.
It has to fly.
Obviously.
And then somebody's like, well, okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. But we have hooved tracks in a straight line for 100 miles. So, yeah. I mean, logically speaking here, how does the bird play in again? Because I'm lost.
Because it's a bird.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
It's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Whew. Thank God we had an animal expert here.
Yeah. It gets better because obviously those were too far-fetched. So they move on to giant leaping rats.
Oh, was that a common thing back then?
Hopping on one foot, one after another.
No, they did not say that. Hopping on one foot.
I mean, there's only one track at a time. How else would it hop?
Jesus.
Gargantuan rabbits jumping in a path for 100 miles. Mm. I know I joked about bears earlier, but this was also something that was brought up. Perhaps it was a bear walking upright along the coast for 100 miles.
And you know, now that I think about it real quick, when it comes to the mega rabbits, the rabbits, they used the wrong terminology. The rabbits wouldn't be hopping. They would be skipping.
Yeah.
So you have mega skipping rabbits.
Yeah. So upright walking bears. Someone suggested that they check local circuses for escaped elephants.
Wow.
An elephant track.
Yeah.
Hooved, cloven, shoot, elephant.
Okay, I retract my statement from earlier about one of these people would know animal tracks, because obviously they do not.
Possible migrant penguins.
That's a good one.
Are there penguins in England and the UK?
Only when it snows.
It did snow.
Yeah.
In all fairness, it did snow.
Yeah.
Someone even suggested an undersized extinct bison that hadn't been seen since the Middle Ages had decided to make its way back.
How do you know about that bison, but you don't know that mice don't wear essentially horseshoes?
I'm not saying these all came from the same person.
I'm not either. I'm just saying, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're trying their best.
That is definitely not.
Someone also came forward and said possibly, maybe, it was an escaped kangaroo from a traveling circus. But kangaroos don't walk in perfect straight lines.
Yeah, they do a lot of hopping.
They also have a massive tail that's always part of their movement. And they don't have hooves.
So people that long ago were just weren't that intelligent.
No.
They did try to fight the devil, though.
They did have a lot of gumption. So, yeah, we got that's a theory. Obviously, we got our paranormal theory here that the devil's hoof prints came from Satan himself that crossed the actual whole coast there. You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's Satan. And it's like some of the clergy even played into it, which you knew they were going to.
Yeah.
That it was going to be some kind of warning or an omen tied to like the regional moral decline, or, you know, a town not paying enough tithes and shit. Biologists suggest hopping rodents such as mice, but that doesn't explain how they hop themselves onto a roof or over a 12-foot wall. Hoax, obviously. Could humans do this?
That's way too much dedication.
They said pranksters using wooden cloven stampers on a pole, which is impressive considering it went 97 miles and there was never any sign.
And it jumped river too, like big ass rivers.
Yeah, there's never any sign that a human touched the ground anywhere near any of the tracks. So people are like, well, maybe it was a whole band of people, a whole band of tricksters and pranksters doing this, which, I mean, is it possible? Yes. Is it plausible? Absolutely not. And as we get closer to like nowadays, people are like, well, maybe it was an atmospheric or a weather phenomena. Someone said freezing rain combined with melting snow caused falling debris, thawed snow clumps that punched hoof-like holes in the floor.
And were also exactly whatever distance apart.
Yes.
That is how weather anomalies work. They're very precise numerically.
Yes. One of the kind of my favorite theory, one of my more favoriter theories, is that it was an experimental helium balloon that someone had tethered something to keep it weighed down, but it wasn't weighed down enough, so it just kept bouncing along its path.
Okay,
for 100 miles, also visiting every home in every town along the way.
You get an A for effort on that one. I'll give you that. That's thinking outside the box. That's about as far as I'm gonna go.
Yeah. So to this day, we still don't know what caused the tracks. It's still just as big a mystery as it was in 1855. But it wasn't the only time that this had happened. So 15 years earlier in Scotland, near the town of Aggrestrew, ARGYLLSINRI. Yeah. The winter of 1840, heavy snowstorms followed by a freeze. Reports centered around the Glenorchy Valley and surrounding Highland farms. Residents awoke to find a series of hoof-like impressions in the snow, very similar in size and spacing to the Devon marks later reported. The tracks crossed frozen lakes, stone walls, and thatched cottage roofs. They were in a single-file line, as if made by a two-legged creature hopping with perfect regularity. The stride was measured, again, 8 to 10 inches apart. But unlike normal animal tracks, no signs of tails or drag marks were found. There's a lot of superstition, like around Scottish folklore stuff about a figure called a Clootie, which is essentially a folklore devil figure. Then, in the 1850s, around the same time, the accounts vary from 1854 to 1856, which the Devonshire tracks happened in 55, so it was either right before or right after. In Switzerland was another set of tracks that had happened in multiple alpine villages. People reported seeing the tracks again after an overnight blizzard and rapid temperature drops. The tracks were also small, cloven-like marks, 3 to 4 inches wide, in a straight, unbroken line. Witnesses claim that they traversed sheer slopes, crossed roofs of chalets, continued over frozen lakes without deviations. Some hunters followed them for several kilometers before losing them in a cliff face. The prints continued in a straight line across the void and onto the other side, as if the creature had walked through the air or leapt an impossible distance to get there. In Swiss alpine folklore, the marks were attributed to, I'm going to try to pronounce this. Sinintunchi? Little Wayne?
Yeah, I've heard of that place.
A supernatural goat-like mountain spirit, or the Teufel, which is the devil. Few accounts claim to have seen a dark, quote, dark leaping figure at night during the snowstorm. All those reports were secondhand. So pattern between the cases here is they were all preceded by snowfall and freezing, which helped being able to see the tracks. There were long unbroken distances, not just one small yard or field. Nothing seemed to stop the tracks. Walls, rivers, roofs, frozen lakes, goddamn cliff faces. There was a single file uniform stride. Unlike regular natural animals, it was always linked to like devil or supernatural kind of things. There was another report of similar tracks being found in Canada, but I couldn't find a lot of information on that. As I'm wrapping it up here, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said it almost seems like there's a mechanical element to it, right? With the tracks being the same. And they're being uniformed apart. She said it almost feels like someone put hooves on a wheel and just rolled it. And then my brain goes, oh, you know who has hooves and looks like a wheel?
Yeah.
Old Crazy Legs.
Yep.
Old Crazy Legs there. May be the guy that was wandering around the English countryside, because if you need a wheel and some hooves that will travel in a exact straight line, exactly the same. I think you got a guy there.
I definitely feel like it's a paranormal event.
Yeah.
I don't think this was a prank or a known animal.
If it was one town, I would write it off as a prank.
Yeah, or even a bizarre animal occurrence.
Yeah. But the fact that it's such a widespread event means it's got to mean something.
Yeah. I definitely feel like it's paranormal. I don't think that I believe it's the devil, but I do think that it's paranormal.
It's
without question.
It's weird, and the fact that it's held up to today and there's still no answer as to what happened makes it weird.
I wonder if there was any like old, almost like, I know this is a piss ass description, but like a blizzard god or something to that nature. You know what I mean?
That would be cool. Yeah.
Because it kind of only comes during the snow for whatever reason, which if it's the devil, which it would almost mean that it wants its tracks to be found. It wants to be known.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the devil isn't generally affiliated with blizzards.
No.
I mean, it could be considered a hellscape for sure. But generally speaking, he's affiliated with fire, not the opposite.
And another thing I forgot to bring up, my friend who brought up the like mechanical wheel type of tracks that's being left also asked, like, when did this take place? Was it close to Christmas? She's like, could this be some sort of like Krampus encounter? But since it was after February, that would have been past unless there's something.
And then you mentioned mechanical, and it kind of reminds me of the mechanical aliens that have been spotted out there.
Yeah. Krampus is not typically celebrated in February. It's December 5th and 6th, so not Krampus season.
Yeah. And the aliens, the robot aliens, were always very investigative, very curious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So maybe I don't see why they would have hooves, but, you know, whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's just robot peg legs.
Yeah, when she said mechanical on a wheel with hooves, it was the first place my brain went was to that, which is creepy.
It is creepy. It's definitely creepy. I definitely, like I said, I think it's a paranormal event. I really don't know. The devil is the easiest explanation.
And the time frame really leaned into that.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I just don't know, you know, because they like that's one thing that we haven't really explored a whole lot is other countries, cryptids and spirits and stuff like that. So there could be a form of regional lore that kind of foots the bill, so to speak.
Yeah. I'm curious to our English listeners out there. I know we've got a few. If this is still talked about, like especially those of you that live kind of in the southwest of the country, is this still talked about? People still bring this up, like this lore? Has this been passed down as like folklore throughout the years? I mean, this thing's over a century old, so that is a lot of time there. I'm just curious to see if people still talk about this event. I know that there, according to the Wikipedia, there were more tracks found. Let me find it. One second here. There are more tracks found in 2015, but they thought that they were a hoax. Let me see. Okay. During 2013, trails were reported in Girvan, Scotland, possibly as part of an April Fool's hoax. So I'm just curious as if this has happened again or if anybody knows anything about it.
They just put horseshoes on a unicycle.
Yeah. See, there's tons of drawings.
Yeah.
Of this thing looking like a horseshoe.
Yeah, for sure.
Which it almost makes you wonder which direction it's walking in.
Also true.
Could it be going this way or could they be backwards?
People would assume it's, you know.
Like a horseshoe.
Like a horse, yeah, yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, all the English sect of the Hollow Cult, let us know what you know. Again, I use the Wikipedia. I also use this gnarly book that I found at the Half Price Bookstore, which I'll shout out. It's called This Baffling World by John Godwin. It's the number one out of the section. It's these, I found three of them, and they each have a couple different accounts of weirdness, and they're old, like from the 60s. So once I saw that, I'm like, yeah, let's get it. So yeah, that's an old chunk of high English high strangeness hollow cult.
Yeah, I definitely remember reading that as a kid because once you said the snow, I knew exactly what the story was.
It's weird.
But I just remember, I guess it was a visualization. I can't say it right now. That's weird. Anyways, you picture I think I'd heard that, like, you could see the footprints going up the side of the wall and then over the roof.
I remember that too.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm making that up because that's what my brain wants to think.
Yeah.
Or not. And it's weird to me that it walked on the tops of some things, but it didn't walk on the top of other things.
Yeah.
Some things it basically walked through. Did it walk through some of the houses? Like, that's the part that if it can walk through a stone wall, like it can walk through a wooden house, which makes it that much more invasive and creepy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird.
It is a weird story.
That's it, Hollow Cult. I've got some other old ones. Like, I found three of these books, and they got some good old high strangeness that I forgot about in my journey here. Because I've been into high strangeness for as long as I can remember, and I've read so much that it just kind of gets all tucked away and compartmentalized and backlogged, and you forget some stuff. But then you'll hear something, and you're like, oh, hey, I do recall that. So we might be jumping into that a little bit more. I just thought it was interesting. Would love to get some feedback from our English sector with the Hollow Cult here. But on that note, thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday. Check us out at all our socials. I won't bore you with all those again. And yeah, we appreciate all of you. So until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and watch yourself for all those rogue circus elephants and escaped kangaroos that are traipsing around the English coastal side.